Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Esposito. It's episode 15 where we will be playing Dungeons & Dragons in space. Thanks for everyone to listening. We really appreciate getting more and more listeners every episode. We've got loads of cool information out there at esposito.wordpress.com. Also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook by searching for Esposito. Especially on Instagram, if you've been following us, we've got the semi-finals of the ship versus ship battles coming up, which is quite interesting. I know who I think I would win, but I'm kind of interested to see what you guys think. So please do get on there, have a vote, and see if you can decide which ship is going to come out victorious. Last time we left the Epsilon Shift, they just exited the sim and they were about to leave the planet of Rith. They'd done a little bit of shopping, they'd done a little bit of murdering. This episode, they're going to head off out into space, try and find a little bit more about the mystery surrounding Revesis and their framing. So now, on with the show.
Last time on Esposito.
So the name of the ship that destroyed the Callistus was the Shattered Tower.
Public records show that the transponder signal assigned to that ship was last pinged at an asteroid in the mid-expanse. Thank you for joining us here at AM News. We are interrupting this scheduled programming for breaking news which claims to exonerate the Epsilon Shift in the destruction of the HWBC's Callistus and furthermore possibly implicate high-level CEO Venom Page of Revesis. Before we take off, you guys all leveled up.
What?
Woohoo!
Razor Leaf.
So, why don't we talk a little bit about your feelings on that? I mean, talk me through your motivation. What were you thinking at the time? What's your character's raison d'etre for stabbing?
I'm feeling mad and sad.
I mean, I'll start. So, level 4, it's either ability score improvement or take a feat.
Yeah.
I took a feat. I took the feat. Speed shot. So, I ignore the reload property of any firearm, which I am proficient with, and I don't have disadvantage when making a weapon attack with a ranged weapon against a target within 5 feet of me, and if I take the attack action with a one-handed weapon, I can attack once with a pistol using a bonus action.
So you're going full Star-Lord on this, then?
It's Star-Lord, Malcolm Reynolds, the charismatic captain of the ship.
Okay, I can deal with that.
And I've gone up to 33 hit points. I did change out Stunning Strike, or whatever it was called. You know, the electric shocking one that was surprisingly unshocking. I swapped that out for Shrapnel Cloud.
That sounds aggressive.
It just means, I can't remember the exact damage, but it means that when I hit someone with an attack, when I shoot a person, it sort of explodes into shrapnel and deals extra damage to them and anyone within 5 feet of them.
Excellent. Any other changes? Any new abilities or anything?
No.
Well. Glad we talked that through.
Hey, the bonus action attack and the no disadvantage on close combat is great.
Yeah, that is pretty good. That is pretty good. We discussed this a little bit because the feat is a little unclear because light pistols already have the adaptable feature.
Yeah, you could already do that with a light pistol
feature. So it's not explicitly said, but we took that to essentially mean that it means all pistols, doesn't it? Any pistol, so heavy, auto, or arm as well.
Yeah, and we double-checked it on the Espergenesis Discord crew. I hope they like being called a crew. And they all tended to agree, so thanks, guys. You're the best.
Yeah, Discord!
Excellent. Pax, what about you? What's new in your particularly murderous side of town?
So I took a feat as well, and my sheet hasn't saved, so I can't remember the name of it, but it's two weapon fighting, which now means I can legally use both of my sabers, which I didn't realize I was doing illegally because they don't have the light feet. That's probably my bad. I was new to D&D when we started the podcast. I was just getting to grips with 5e, so it's two weapon handling. It means I get plus one to my armor class. I can
such a euphemism.
I can handle two weapons.
Like I'm skiing. plus one to armor class. So I'm now armor class 17, which is quite cool. I can now dual wield, devoid of whether it's got light feet or heavy or whatever. So what I was doing before was illegal with my sabers. I didn't realize that because I'm a noob. So I can use my sabers dual wield. I can use the heavy pistols I just bought dual wield. And there's something else as well that I can't remember. Oh, I can. So if I can take out two weapons, and it just means that I've used one action to do that. And that is me. Oh, and I'm now 39 hit points.
39. Excellent. Ozan, what's new with you?
I decided to buck the trend, and rather than going for a feat, I decided just to enhance one of my ability scores, and I went for charisma because, oh boy, after watching some documentaries on Netflix lately, I am taking my cult places. So,
are you talking about the fire documentary?
So yeah, I'm going to be Ja Rule, but in space.
I mean, that's the podcast everyone wanted.
I mean, I'm just giving the people what they wanted for exorbitant prices.
But then not actually giving the people what they wanted at the end.
Exactly. Classic Ja Rule. Please don't sue me, Ja Rule.
And do you get any other abilities or anything like that?
I didn't get any new abilities as of this level, but I remembered that I can cast spells. So instead of just me having to use my imagination for shenanigans, I'm going to use the rules.
Magic shenanigans. And lastly, D4, how are you?
Cool. I was looking at feats originally, but in the end I decided, like, against what's actually happened in the story, my wisdom's increased.
You've learned from your mistakes.
I've learned from everyone's mistakes, and there's been a lot of mistakes that have been made so far. So yes, I'm slightly wiser, and I've also got an extra second level spell slot. So hopefully I become even more of a murder hobo than I did in the previous fight.
You're like the least murder hobo we have everyone, though.
Yeah, but then when it actually counted.
Yeah, there's a difference, though, between being good at it and just...
being forced into it.
Yeah.
That's very true. Incidental hobo.
Got any new spells or anything?
I've got a new cantrip, so I'm not at the fourth level. I've gone for virtual display, which allows me to basically... hack people's screens. So within 90 feet, you can view the on-screen contents of any digital data display you can see within range.
Oh, that's cool.
The information appears before you in a translucent display that only you can see.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, and my hit points have gone up to 32.
32. What were your hit points, Ozan?
40.
What do your spells do, Ozan? Have you got any particular talents that you know of? Other than murder? We've done murder.
I have cellular resistance, which means I refuse to buy a mobile phone. Cellular resistance just means I don't get diseases. So, which, considering I'm half crocodile, half,
But can you get viruses?
IBM computer. Well, no, you see, one cancels out the other. Like, I mean, one's a perfectly evolved biological killing machine, and the other one is really good at sending faxes. So... It all sort of balances out.
That's this bizarre version of the future where faxes have come back into the primary source of sending data. Around.
I mean, I've got some spells. I've got barrier, which is a barrier, and it makes things harder to hit me or others. I have mend, which is the opposite of barrier. Sort of the same, really.
Do you understand opposites?
When things break the barrier, I can then mend the things that have been broken by the barrier. So, and then I've got ramming strike, which is an extra 2d6 thunder damage, and then it knocks things back and then over, and then I have sensory boost, and I've got volcanic charge, and that's just extra lightning damage.
Well, that all sounds pretty, I feel like it will, you know, it will assist in murder. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so back into it. That was interesting. You, oh God, I was about to say you pull off. Okay, I'm just going to say yeah, no, I'm going to stick with it. You pull off out of the car park. You pull out. There we go. Nothing can go wrong with that. You pull out of the car park and fly. Where are you going?
Asteroid. No, shipyard. Oh, shipyard, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Asteroid, then shipyard.
No. Asteroid shipyard. Is there an asteroid shipyard?
I think there is a shipyard on an asteroid, but it's not near here.
No, I want it to be called Asteroid Shipyard.
Okay, so that's not what it's called.
Oh. deal with it. I don't want to go there.
Okay, so you don't go to the shipyard.
That's right, because I'm the captain.
No, I'm the pilot / captain, so I will do as I see fit.
What pilot has ever been a captain?
Shut up.
Well, I'm not the pilot, so that makes me the captain, and I say we go.
I mean, you cut out then, Aaron, which seemed...
I don't think he did.
I mute Ozan.
You heard me. Obey your captain.
What are the coordinates for this Yelp review?
7x4.
Right. I plot a course for... Actually, I make an order across the cons. Plot a course for that Yelp place that was really well reviewed.
Aren't you flying the ship?
Yeah, Pat, you're driving. You're the pilot.
I've got two weapon handling, so I can use two hands really well.
Yeah, but why are you...
Steering wheel.
But who are you
press
telling?
A button.
It's excellent when you're pulling off.
Yeah, I think the point was more, if you're driving, why are you telling people to plot a course?
Yeah.
Are you breaking the fourth wall?
Is Korchev in the room with me? In the cockpit?
No, Korchev is in his bunk, being pitied by Celix and sort of haunted, I guess, by Ozan.
Yep.
D4, can you pretty please send me the coordinates for this place that you found online?
I send them over through the navcoms, I guess.
Where's the navcoms?
I Google them. Whatever. They show up on your screen.
I plot a course for this particular place.
Okay. So you find the coordinates of a fairly well-respected mechanics, and you bring the Luciola down over it and land in the courtyard just outside. The mechanics itself has a big sign outside, and it's called Kessai and Sons. The garage is quite a large two-tiered room, and the main door is this big double garage door which leads into a workshop floor. It's quite open. The door is open, and you can see some people working inside.
All right, Pax, you land the ship. I'll go and talk to them.
Yeah, I'm just going to put my feet up.
Okay, so as you walk in, you can see two men with earphones are busy working on this 8-wheel desert buggy with this big oversized engine and a steel roll cage. It has this huge exhaust, which is probably big enough to fit your head in. The workshop, it's more of a small warehouse than a room. Around the edges are several workbenches and filing cabinets and tool shelves and sort of computers and a mini fridge. There's thick power conduits dangling down from the ceiling and a row of dusty windows encircling the room. They don't let much light in because of all the dirt that's caked on them. And the walls are covered in, you know, posters of old TV shows and and there's a big banner that says a full service, only 300 credits. The whole room smells thickly of engine oil.
I'm going to go out. Is there like a reception room?
Not really. There's a sort of a small desk over to your right, looking round, which has a woman sat at it, which is not paying you any attention.
Okay, I stroll up to lean across the desk and say, "Hey, we have a ship that needs fixing."
She looks up at you. Well, hello there. How can I help? You've got a ship that needs fixing.
Yeah. Can you fix it?
Oh, I dare say I can. What exactly seems to be the problem?
Structural damage, and you know, we're considering some upgrades depending on what you've got.
I can probably help you with a couple of upgrades.
Let's talk the base cost of the structural damage first. How much is that going to cost?
She goes over and gives it a bit of a once over, and she looks around and finds a few pretty bad cracks running round and assesses the structural damage. After she comes back after a quick while and says, I would say about 1,000 credits would sort that out.
Right, right, right. Guys, how much do we have together? 1,000's got nothing.
I mean, to get it good as new.
Yeah.
I've got 844.
I have the bartering power of intimidation.
No, you're not using it.
And also grenade launcher.
So we've got about 1,400 between me and D4.
I've got 167.
Okay, so we can do that. Now let's talk upgrades.
As I said, we have quite a few different things we can do. I mean, we've got the full service package, which we can do. That doesn't include any parts. That's just a servicing, you know, clean everything out. That'll get it running much smoother. We've got armor plating. We can increase the sensor ranges, put some extra reactive thrusters on there, upgrade the cannons.
That sounds good. I'm interested in the cannons and the armor.
What about the thrusters?
Don't care.
Don't need armor if we don't get hit.
Or if you're looking for commissions, we can build ships from scratch. That's up, you know, absolutely fine. But that is quite an expensive affair.
I was going to say, how much would that cost? And how long would it take?
Oh, well, depends what you're asking for. Ships all different sizes. But I guess starting at the smallest end of the scale would be about 8,000 for a small starfighter.
No.
And then going up from there.
We're good. So how much for an individual upgrade?
Oh, it depends what you want, really.
Right, so to upgrade the armour, how much would that be?
The armour for the full ship would be about 1,000 credits.
How much for the cannons?
They'd be even more. So if you're putting a face at the armour, then I don't think the cannons are going to be your thing.
You're rubbish at this.
I'm finding the lay of the land.
Do you have anything that can make our fine vessel stand up against, say, a technically advanced cruiser?
No. I mean,
do you have any basic ships for sale that are better than this?
Well,
trade this in and give you 1,500 credits.
Well, I guess I think Czechoslovakian milk float would be a bit better than this.
All right, there's no need for sass.
Racist.
I mean, your best bet for the bang for your buck, as it were, would most likely just be to get a service. I mean, we wouldn't be replacing any parts, but we could.
But it would be fixed and working well.
You know, as good as it can be.
Will you throw in an air freshener? 5 air fresheners.
Alpine, please.
Well, okay. We'll tell you what. As a show of good faith, we'll throw in an air freshener and stop the pilot seat from squeaking when it goes up and down.
I don't care about the pilot seat.
Okay. Well, in that case, we'll make it squeak more.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Deal.
Sold.
So a full service is about 300 credits, but be aware, we're not changing any parts. We're just basically...
You're just making the ship better.
Maintaining the ship in general.
Will the structural damage be fixed?
No.
Oh, so 1,300 credits for a service and the structural damage.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
If we lose the air freshener, can we make it 1,200?
I guess...
You can also leave the pilot seat alone.
I guess I could do it for 1,299.
Done. Haggling's boring.
You've got great charisma.
I do.
This is me out of the game.
Yeah, I know.
Talking about your character, not John.
Yeah, he does, but he's also bored by the idea of haggling. Wait, hang on. Let me do one more thing for you. Right. Do you recognise this face?
Sorry. I was drinking my drink.
Right. Do you recognise this face? Do you know who this guy is?
No.
Well, then you've clearly not been on the sim in the last, like, 6 hours. Okay, so...
Oh, I leave that stuff to the kids. I'm a bit old for all that.
Well, that's fair enough. Not only am I Jefferson Knight, famed bounty hunter, I am also part of the Epsilon shift who have recently revealed a huge conspiracy.
Oh, the terrorists.
No, we're not you, like, look on the sim, all right? Okay. We're not terrorists.
Oh, I don't really do the sim.
We are victims of a conspiracy from the Revisys mega corporation.
Have you heard the good word of Pingu?
No. Like 30 people have heard that. Leave her alone.
He climbed to the mountaintop and he spake thusly. Oh, those who give unto me,
please ignore him.
Upgrades shall have a place in heaven by my right hand.
Flipper.
Given unto thee.
His right hand is extremely burnt. Has it got infected?
He's fine. He can't get infected. No. So, basically what I'm saying is, we're kind of big deals-ish.
Is that why you can't afford basic ship upgrades?
We've been busy fighting evil and doing good-ish.
We party too hard, homies!
You're helping a good cause if you give us a good deal.
I am giving you a good deal.
I want a better deal.
Well, I can't.
Can I speak to your manager?
I am the manager. I'm Kasai.
Right. Okay.
These are my sons. She points over at the two chaps with headphones in fixing the buggy.
Oh, is this Kasai and sons?
She just gestures to the sign above the door.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Can we fight them? No.
I think it'd be best if we just get on with it, or...
Yeah, you know what, I'm bored of this. I will pay you the money you want for the thing, but I expect an air freshener and I expect that pilot seat to be squeaky.
Okay, so have you got 1,299?
Between us, we do.
Okay, so you hand that over.
Who's paying what there? I can take off 500.
I can't do the maths on this. I've got 844, so as the captain, I'll pay the rest.
Thank you very much, Captain.
You're welcome.
Is this going to take long, then? Is this like these repairs?
I'd say give us a couple of hours and we'll get right on it.
All right. Pax walks down the galley. Not galley. What's the thing?
Gangway.
And he eyes at one of the sons straight away. How big are they?
They're humans. They're kind of normal-sized. About human, you know, about 5'10". They're not crazy muscular, but they're mechanics. They do physical labour for a living, so they're not small.
What says one of you to an arm wrestle? I don't know why he's now northern.
They have work to do on our ship.
Mike, if there's one thing we can't forgive in this podcast, it's inconsistent accents.
Sorry, let me do that again. What says one of you to an arm wrestle?
Well, I'm afraid I've got work to do. I'm very busy.
What do we do while we wait?
How am I supposed to service your ship if you've broken me arm?
Do you have a television or something in the back?
there's a waiting room in the back. It's got a little, like, small 14-inch CRT TV, which is impressive, because they've not existed for 300 years.
All right. I suppose Pax will sit down and sharpen his sabres for a bit.
Yep, so they work on the ship for a good couple of hours. And eventually, Kasai comes in and says, "Well, you would not believe the things we found in there. When was the last time you cleaned it out? Honestly, they were filled with gunk from years ago."
Oh, yeah, we'll put that there for safekeeping.
Ah. Anyway, should be shipshape by now.
It was already shipshaped.
See what you did there.
Thanks. Fucking hate you all. Can't even get a couple of mild conversation out of the way. Fucking exhausting. So if you want to just get back in the ship and toddle on your merry way...
I mean,
arm wrestle before we go?
Get out.
Okay. Pax goes back in the ship, sits down in the cockpit, and this like loud squeaking noise happens, so he doesn't know what the fuck's going on. He's like... What the fuck is this? What have you done to the ship?
And that's something like Pingu as well.
It's a sign!
Anyway,
to the asteroid. Oh, no, hang on. Can I just go outside quickly and say, how long would it be for you to quickly amend the name of the ship?
We have paint for this as well.
Yeah, we can provide the paint.
I mean, just to paint a name on the side?
Yeah.
Well, it'll take about, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Can you do that, please?
Yeah, but the transponder would still have the name of the original ship on it.
Doesn't matter.
Okie dokie.
Wait, how much does it cost to change? What's that? What does that involve changing?
Well, changing transponders, it's...
They're changing the name on the transponder.
Yeah, I mean, it's not entirely difficult when you know what you're doing, but it's the fees. It's all the paperwork and the fees.
Ah, stupid bureaucrat.
Yeah, we'll just do it on paint. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can get one of the lads to do that for 50 credits.
We've been
I didn't arm wrestle your sons or anything. Can we just say it's included in the ship?
We will leave you alone if you do it for free.
I tell you what, you have just bought a service. I'll get one of the lads to do it for 20 quick credits.
Fine.
Thank you. Just put a colon after Luchola and paint on Jefferson Starship.
Ah, oh, boo. Not Starbug. Right, not Starbug.
Jefferson Starship. It's decided. The captain has spoken.
I mean, it's a classical band from way back when, right? So it sounds good to me. It's
classy, right?
What's your name again?
Knight.
Yeah, Knight. I agree with Knight.
Well, I do like classical music, so I can totally respect that. And she beckons one of her sons over and he paints Jefferson Starship on the side after the word Luchola.
Yeah, so it's La Luchola, Jefferson Starship.
If you don't mind me saying so, it's quite a long name for a spaceship.
Fuck off. I wasn't asking for your opinion. You've been very nice, but you've also been a little passive. Alright, so just, you know, let us name our starship what we want to name it. You can fix it, we'll pay you for that. What?
I said, well, I never.
Oh, well, now you have.
Well, I'll bid you gentlemen good day. So, Pax, you're just in the cockpit. You flick on the instruments and you notice on the sensors and the gauges and the different items of the ship, the ship seems to be responding a lot better than it was. The power levels are higher than they were when you came in. Everything's been charged, everything's been cleaned, everything seems to... You give the steering wheel a slight wiggle and you can actually hear the ailerons on the side of the ship moving as they're supposed to. Because I assume that's what ailerons do. Not an expert in astrophysics. And all the thrusters seem to be firing at maximum efficiency. There's a couple of things have been added to the ship. So what I'll do is I'm just going to roll for these to see how well the ship has been fixed. Okay. So the hit dice of the ship goes up by 8.
Nice.
The maneuverability of the ship increases by 1. The defense modifier increases by 2. And your speed also goes up by 1d2, which is 2 again.
Do you want us to make a note of this? Or
no, I've got stats for the ship here, but it's just good for you to know.
So our speed's now 4, is that right?
Your speed's now 6.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong bit.
Which is actually SI. Actually relatively... relatively nippy for a ship. Your ship is essentially in a much better state than it was earlier, and you feel like if you couldn't just keep getting a service and having those benefits, you think they're definitely one-off benefits, but they've restored the ship much closer to its original quality. It's still not an amazing ship. It's still not a combat-specific ship, but at least it's now in a condition where you feel like you could, you know, pop a balloon without one of the panels falling off the side. So you're in the cockpit. The ship seems to be purring like a little kitten.
So, I think we should go to the asteroid.
Yeah.
Spake for captain.
No.
let's go anywhere but the asteroid.
Alright, hang on. How about we're all co-captain?
How about shut up, not captain?
I'm just going to punch in I know the coordinates. I'm punching in those coordinates. I'm not even going to ask you all, because I'm the captain.
Don't you listen to him, he's not the real captain.
Thank you for following my orders, Pax.
I can't hear you. I've turned the comms off again.
I walk up to the cockpit. Thank you for following my orders, Pax.
Did I ever tell you you're a terrible human being?
Thank you. Fucking hell.
At last, some sincerity.
Let's go.
Are we
punch
done?
It. Punch it.
So I was just waiting for you guys to be done. You know, I just didn't want to interrupt. Okay, so Pax, you ignore the arguing of everyone else, and you pull out of the courtyard and start to sail above the skyline of Rith. It's early in the afternoon. You can see quite a long way, and you see the city of Rith proper expanding to the horizon, pretty much in every direction. You can see skyscrapers and commercial buildings, business parks, and just dots where ships are flying above the city all over the horizon. You keep piloting away, and you punch in the coordinates for where the shattered tower was last seen, where it last pinged off the comms, based on its transponder, and you follow those coordinates. They're quite a way away. It will take you several hours to get there. And as you leave the atmosphere of Rith behind you, the greyish blue orb of the city slowly fades away until there's nothing but a ball of white light behind you amongst the black space. And slowly, Pax, you see the green dot on the scanners moving off the corner of the screen until you're out into the depths of space. There's now about several hours again where you're on the ship. If there's anything you want to do or carry out while you're traveling, that's absolutely fine.
I want to go mess with Gorbachev. Oh yeah, sorry, Khrushchev.
So you find Khrushchev in his quarters. He looks up as you walk in, and just sort of exhales slowly and closes his eyes slightly, and then he opens his eyes again, looks at you and says, "Hello, lizard man."
Hey buddy, what you exhaling for?
Just in anticipation of whatever wonders you bring.
Oh, and boy do I bring wonders. Come with me, dude.
Why?
I have no idea. I'm going to make this up as I go along. Come on.
I've got to admit, my incentive is pretty low at the moment.
All right, fine. I'll pummel you if you don't.
Well, I kind of feel like you'll pummel me if I do.
There's only one way to find out.
He rolls his eyes and slowly follows you.
Now, you're a spacefaring man, aren't you? A real cadet of sorts.
It is true, right. I was only a cadet, but the Callistus was one of the most respected ships in the fleet, so...
Yeah, I don't want your life story, goddamn. What do we do if we get boarded?
Boarded. I assume you use your grenade launcher at the first thing that moves, blow a hole in the side of the ship and kill us all.
Excellent, yeah. you're a fast learner, Khrushchev. So,
whatever.
My second question is, how do we board other ships?
Boarding other ships, for a skilled pilot is not too much of a big deal. Easier if the other ship is not moving, but it's simply lining up the doors and engaging the airlocks.
Now, let's say we're both moving at speed, yeah?
Yep.
And one of the ships is infinitely large. Well, not infinitely larger, that'd be silly, but much larger and much better equipped than this ship, which, let's be honest, is a very real possibility.
Yes, I believe so.
How likely do you think you would be able to get me into a position where I could jump from this ship onto that other hypothetical?
Well, I am trained pilot, so, I think I could... As long as the other ship was not going at a speed which was untenable to the Luciola, then I think that would be okay, as just so long as they did not perform any evasive maneuvers while you were docking. If so, ships would pull apart, the air seal would break, and you would get pulled off into space and die in the horrible, horrible cold vacuum of the void.
Hmm. So what you're saying to me is that I couldn't just sort of open this airlock, jump outside, and land on the ship?
Well... It is true that some people have this power with Esper awakenings. They can, envelop themselves in Esper powers and shield themselves from the terrors of space. But unless you are trained in these arts, then I think you would either need a spaceship or the airlock.
Mm. What about a spacesuit?
Yes, I guess a spacesuit would work, but... If you jump and miss, then that is kind of it for you.
Yeah, fuck it. I've had a good run. Okay. Thanks, Khrushchev. I'm going to wander off into the ship and either try and find a spacesuit or try and cobble one together.
Cobble one together.
Yep.
Okay. Roll an investigation.
Okay. I have a minus one.
As your modifier, or that's what you rolled?
No. Yeah, I rolled minus one. No, my modifier is minus one. And I got a 9 overall.
Yeah, you can't really find anything particularly spacesuity. You do find one, but it's pretty badly patched up.
Oh, I found a spacesuit.
Yeah, it is, but it's barely worth that name. It's extremely old and worn.
Okay, cool.
It's an old mechanic suit which is used for it was not used for going outside of the ship, but it can be made for sort of short term survival inside the ship where the atmosphere has been lost.
So could I like try and like upgrade it? Do some like mechanics, you know, just like proper like MacGyver this shit, like just, you know, strap some oxygen tanks to the back, you know, goldfish bowl for a helmet, that sort of thing.
Roll a mechanics check.
So that is a 16.
It's just about holding together. You're not entirely sure if this is going to be something that you would trust with your life in space, but it does just about work. You think, you know, you get one of the air pumps and plug it up the sleeve, and it seems to hold the air inside relatively well, so...
Fantastic.
You're not sure if it's 100% airtight, but it might buy you a minute or so.
97% will do. I'm assuming it's 97% airtight.
It's an estimate.
Cool. Guys, I made a space suit.
Anyone else?
Pax is just going to put the ship on autopilot. He's going to take out the hand-carved toy that his daughter owned that he found on her corpse and look at it for hours and look into the deep expanse of space and shed a few tears in the cockpit while he's alone.
That's beautiful.
Hey, Pax, check out this spacesuit I made.
Get out! He wipes his eyes and puts the toy quickly back into his pocket and he's, get out, get out!
Goddamn, no one wants to see my goddamn spacesuit.
Jefferson's going to practice looking intimidating and cool with his guns.
Okay. Roll an intimidation roll into the mirror.
18.
Okay. Yeah. You practice a few moves and you get a couple of things down. You practice your snarl and your glower. And yeah, what I'll do is I think you can have a point of inspiration there, which can only be used on charisma rolls.
Okay, nice. Charisma or intimidation?
You're busy. I'll come back. I'll come back.
intimidation. Your next intimidation roll, I'll give you can have advantage on. D4, are you doing anything in your time on the ship?
Well, I'm just going to go over to Rose and look over his new spacesuit.
Oh, thanks, D4.
Yeah. Not bad, listen, man. Not bad.
I made it because you're good at computers and stuff. Sometimes I like murdering, but sometimes I like to do other stuff.
Sometimes a bit of embroidery, a bit of needlework.
Not on a spacesuit. D4, roll a mechanics check.
This is 16 plus 5 now, actually. No, plus 6 now. Ooh. And 22.
So you can tell that this spacesuit is not... It's not particularly safe at all. Whether you decide to tell Ozan this is up to you, but you can tell that it's not.
Do you want me to take a look at that for you, buddy?
Oh, no, I got it. It's cool.
I'd really like to take a look at that for you.
Look with your eyes, man.
As your captain, I demand to take a look at your spacesuit.
Well, it's a good thing that I'm the captain then.
Oh, so you order me to look at your spacesuit?
Wait, what?
No, it's fine. I'll have a look at it for you.
I mean,
yes, Captain. Anything you say, Captain.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. carry on, spacesuit Inspector D4. I awkwardly salute and walk away.
Yes, I'm going to have a look over and see if I can make it any better.
Okay, Ozan, I think you should have a point of inspiration there as well, just for playing to character. Yeah, okay, yeah, you with that role, you can definitely improve it.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, you basically you patch up the visible holes. The one that you can get your thumb through is relatively passable at the moment. It's still not good, but you definitely think it would hold some oxygen in. After quite a few hours of just gliding through space and Pax, you're looking at this toy in your lap and looking absently out the window when you think you see something, a sort of glint of light in the distance that, according to the scanners, shouldn't really be there. Can you roll a perception check for me?
Again. Jesus Christ. 7.
But it looks okay.
very suspicious. Oh, never mind.
I'm going to relay this to the crew there. There's a glint in the distance, but, you know, probably a star or something.
Clean the windscreen.
Okay. He thumbs at the windscreen of the Luciola.
You think that'll be included in the service?
The what? The window of the Jefferson. No, Luciola colon Jefferson starship.
The Jefferson's colon.
Yeah.
You carry on flying for about another 20, 25 minutes or so. And then a little message flashes up on the screen next to you, Pax, saying incoming transmission.
Can I relay the comms to everybody in the ship while I select accept transmission?
You could patch it through the whole ship. That should be easy. Transmission would just be from the cockpit, but they'd be able to hear everything.
Yeah, let's do that.
And
I go up to the cockpit.
You accept the transmission, and a voice comes across your comms. This is Captain Benedict Culver of the Alacrity. Please turn off the engines to your ship and prepare to be boarded. You are under arrest and we are to take you in.
Under what authority?
Under the authority of Revesis Corporation.
I will rip your fucking throat out.
Can I have arrived in the cockpit by now?
Not quite yet.
Please
do be aware that we have no qualms about using force and just blowing your ship out of the sky, if you can call it a ship.
Why would you even want to board us? Do you want to take us alive or something? Or
alive
just blow
us
out of the sky, bitch?
Alive is preferable, but I am under orders to just put an end to your slander that you have been throwing around about my corporation and our wonderful executive.
I'm going to be banking away from the from their ship while we do this and going into speeding away, basically, if I can, but still speaking to him. Okay. Try it. I'm speeding away from the ship.
And he says, I can see you've decided to run. Well, I understand your predicament, but I will have to warn you that this is your last chance to turn off your engines and power down your weapons, or we will be forced to blow you out of the sky. Now you can arrive, Jeff.
I'm sorry. What seems to be the problem?
And who am I speaking to? Please put me back onto the captain.
I've just said.
That's right, bitch. No, you sit down in my chair for a second. Let me take all of this.
This is Captain Jefferson. How can I help?
Ah, so you're the extra member of the Epsilon shift.
Take it how you will. What's the issue? What's the problem here? Who the fuck are you?
Again, my name is Benedict Culver. I am the captain of the Alacrity. We are here to bring you into the Revesis Corporation and see that you pay for your slander against the organisation.
See, here's my issue with this. You're private security of a mega corporation. You're not government. You're not a statutory force in any way. You can't really arrest me.
That is cute, and you can hang on to your medieval archaic models if you wish, but we all know that corporations are bigger than countries nowadays, my friend. And
what about planets? Intergalactic governments.
I think you'll find they all bend to our
Always got you there. Model UN, bitch!
All right. Can I just quickly mute it and have a look at the scanner and see what sort of ship it is?
You punch into the scanner and you can actually see three dots on the scanner, so there's definitely three ships. Do you want to roll a quick computers check just to see if you can find out more details?
Wait. Why is it D4 on scanners?
That is a 16.
So there's three ships. One is a little bit bigger than the Luciola, and two are significantly smaller.
How much bigger? Like, can I estimate like crew size roughly?
Crew size is a bad way to measure how big they are because a lot of the systems are automated on these ships. But it's probably a bit bigger than the Luciola. It could fit about. I would say it could fit about 10 crew on quite easily on the main ship if it wanted to. The smaller ships are probably one or two man vessels.
Okay, I keep the speaker muted and I'm like, guys, how do we feel about punching some people that board the ship?
I have a counter plan. How do we feel about me boarding their ship?
I mean, I feel like both can be achieved at the same time.
Okay, cool. I'm going to get my spacesuit on and grab Korchev.
So we're going to surrender?
Yeah, we're going to surrender and then fight them.
At this point, a shot fires out and whistles past the bow of the Luciola.
I'm going to power the engines down.
Yeah, and I unmute the speaker and say, okay. Look, we're sorry. We'll come in. We'll speak with your superiors. We're going to get this whole mess straightened out. It's fine.
I'm glad you finally saw sense.
All right, well, we'll see you soon. Can we have... Is it going to be like a welcoming party? Is the drinks, canapes? How does this work out?
There's no response.
All right, well, I'll see you soon. It's been nice chatting.
Let's mute them again just in case.
Yeah, we mute them. And then, I guess, guys, should we gather at the docking port?
You guys do that. I've got another plan. It's cool. I got this.
All right. Well, we'll go to the docking house.
How would you feel about turning face and playing chicken with the main ship?
I mean, we can do that, but I don't really see what we achieve this way. As far as I can tell, this way we get a better ship.
Okay. You know, I ever told you. You're all right for a human.
What does that mean?
And I proceed to the docking area. I'm going to leave my swords in the cockpit for no apparent reason.
Okay. So
I'm hanging at the back of the docking area.
You power down the ship, and the three ships on the scanners, they get closer and closer to you.
I hope this goes well.
The two smaller ships encircle the Luciola, and your scanners cut out. They start to fizz up and cut out. So there's just static appearing on those screens.
I say to Prim and Cephax, I don't think they know you're here. Get ready to man the guns.
Nice.
That's a good idea, Captain. I'll go man the guns now. Celix and Prim move off through the ship. Both of them are heading towards the guns. After a while, you hear this large, and you hear the locking mechanism engaged, and the door to the airlock opens up.
I just feel like we have a better chance at winning a fight. Like shooting at them rather than like space shooting fight. At them individually rather than three ships shooting at us.
No, I agree.
Also, we don't damage our new ship.
Oh, is that the plan? Oh, in that case,
yeah. Where are you?
I'm so worried.
But also really intrigued.
Because I was going to be in the air vent.
Are you going to go yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker?
I was planning to.
Okay, so The door opens, and a bit of like Bonnie Tyler smoke pours out.
Nice.
Yeah, like very, it's very Close Encounters kind of thing.
I turn around.
There's only so much inspiration you can have, Tom. You hear the captain. Please step through the airlock and into the Alacrity, and where you will hand over your weapons and kneel on the floor.
Guys, can I use my grenade launch?
I don't want to damage the ship.
I think there's going to be some damage to the ship.
Is that just going to suck us all out into space then?
There's only one way to find out.
I mean, D4, you don't need to roll on this. D4, as a mechanic, you know that an explosive charge in a ship at the best of times would be very bad coming from the inside. But when the airlocks are open and the structural integrity is breached, then it would be borderline suicide.
Hosen, save your grenades.
I think you'd achieve your main goal, which is killing all of them, but you might also achieve a secondary goal.
You guys are really stifling my creativity, you know.
I guess we wait.
I said, put down your weapons and step into the Alacrity.
So I'm going to go into the comms. Having some technical...
You're aware the door is open, you know, and you're about 8 feet away from me.
Oh, you can't see me! Oh, in that case, no, fuck off. Can I see you?
You can see a line of soldiers through the door, pointing to their weapons, but you can't see where the voice is coming from.
I put my pistol down and walk towards the soldiers with my hands over my head.
No, D4, no! The trap!
Excellent. At least one of you has sense.
Yeah, it's pretty much just him.
Yeah, the rest of us aren't so smart.
They will follow.
I'm going to lay my two pistols down and also follow D4, hands above my head.
Excellent. And the rest of your crew?
I'm going to walk in with my grenade launcher raised.
Listen.
Good work.
I'm just going to step into the centre of the airlock and just say, boys, you all know what this is.
I'm guessing it's a colossal manifestation of your own stupidity.
they haven't made a grenade launcher that big. No, this is me saying, fuck me. No, fuck me. And also fuck you.
Put down the weapon.
No, you put down your weapons. Otherwise I blow us all up.
Roll a deception or intimidation, whichever way you want to play it.
Intimidation, because I'll do it.
I'm going to continue walking towards the soldiers as he's doing this.
I'm also doing that.
Can I use my inspiration for advantage?
Yep, sure.
That is a 21 non-natural.
Okay, excellent. Can you also roll a perception? A couple of the soldiers in front of you start to look left and right at each other, and they lower their weapons slightly, but not fully. You can see the captain.
My perception was 16.
16. Okay. You see the captain sort of start to glow slightly blue.
Oh shoot! With the grenade launcher.
Please don't.
I was not bluffing.
Okay. Hosen, wait.
Okay, so
Jefferson runs away.
I you don't have time for that.
Can I use quick step and run away fast?
Can I stand between Hosen and the soldiers?
He's already fired it.
Oh, there's no stopping.
He said he's already fired it. If he was just pointing it, I would totally be fine with that. But he has very much already fired the gun.
Fair enough. This is how we die.
Bear with Jesus Christ. Bear with me.
The best laid plans.
Let me just. This might need some figuring out here, because when I said I plan for things, I didn't. I didn't really plan for this.
I really wanted that nice shiny ship.
You called their bluff, though, to be fair.
Yep.
They're going to now have to deal with it before we all die.
Okay, so roll. This is difficult because the launcher should really technically have a minimum range on it, but that doesn't stop you shooting it. So roll a dexterity, just a plain dexterity roll.
I've got the DCs here. If it's within 60 feet, it's DC 12, 120 DC 14, or 200 DC 16.
Is that for everyone in?
It's so you make a ranged weapon attack using your dex or athletics.
Is it still arcing through the air, Tom?
I'm just waiting to hear this dex roll.
It was 16.
16.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Oh, right. Okay. So you fire the grenade across the room, and it explodes on the back wall, right behind this Captain Benedict, and a large fireball pattern engulfing a lot, and it breaks through the walls here, and they all try to dive out of the way. Soldier 2 gets engulfed in flames quite relatively badly, and he takes a chunk of damage. He gets blasted into the table here. The third soldier also takes a bit of damage. He pats out the flames. He ducks down aside and avoids the worst of it. Second soldier looks really badly burnt as he's slumped up against the wall. The captain does take... He does seem to take some damage, and he's enveloped in the flames. But when the flames die down, he's surrounded by this blue glowing field of energy. This is the same style of shield that you've seen before. The last time you saw this was when Venom Page used it in the hangar bay of the Callistus. The whole ship lurches and sways and creaks and groans, and these large cracks split and appear across the floor, and you feel a definite breeze waft past your legs. The two soldiers nearest Benedict, they dive to the side. One of them gets quite badly burnt. Benedict himself, when the fires die away, you can see he's taken a good bit of damage, but he's surrounded by this blue shield of energy that's protecting him. And there is some significant cracks along the floor of the ship, and you feel this strong breeze pulling the air past you as the air is sucked out of the ship. And there definitely seems to be a significant hull breach now.
Back on the ship, everybody.
So angry at you, Ozan.
Can you all roll initiative?
Natural 20, let's go!
I got a natural 22.
Oh, shit!
I don't believe you, because there's no such thing as a natural 22. So I think we're definitely rigging the dice there. Okay.
I went to 23, same.
So you're both on 23.
Yeah, I'll let you go first. I'm not on the ship. I don't care. Probably makes sense.
Ozum?
I got a 17.
Default?
18.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, we're doing well.
Doing pretty well this time.
Just wait till the attack rolls.
Do you remember when I said that I was surprised you were buying him a grenade launcher?
Yeah, I deeply regret this Kickstarter now.
I regret nothing.
Okay, sorry, I was just...
calculating our doom.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I will say is that this ship was much nicer than yours.
No, we will never leave the Luciola.
I would have done.
Okay, so while everyone is stammering with the shockwave that has just poured through and swept through the common room of the Alacrity, Pax, you're the first to react.
Okay, I am going to roar with rage. Soldier 5. And summon my sword, but and an outreach hand, summon it so it comes straight through into his head.
So of the three soldiers nearest to you, You run straight towards the one on your left. Do you want to roll an attack roll?
Yes. That is a 21.
Does it?
Okay. I'm going to do, I think, how close are the other soldiers? Are they 10?
Soldier one's about 5 feet away. So there's a soldier to the right about 5 feet away.
So soldier four is also, is 10 feet away, yes?
Yeah, there'd be another, there's another soldier at the end of the table, about 10 feet away.
That's some good avoiding using soldier one, soldier two, soldier four.
Yes, so
thanks. Yeah, I'm like recreating what he says, but without the numbers.
I am going to use acid ring on this.
Just trip bones, yeah. Man. Just
fucking trip some acid. So I choose three targets within 10 feet, and they take 2d6 damage. They take half damage on successful dex saving throw.
Okay, so what's the DC on that?
Shit, I didn't make a note of that. It's a... Fuck, I do this every time.
You do this every time.
I will make a note of this right now, though, while we're...
You just laugh at doo-doo.
I did.
So while we're doing this, I'll roll the damage on the soldier in front of me that I've hit with my sword.
Okay.
Is a 5.
Yeah, okay, he takes that. He, as you summon the sword, it just slashes across his cheek.
He will also be taking the 2d6, so it's going to be that soldier, the one to his left, and the other one to that one's left.
Yeah, so the three in a row. And what's the DC on that?
DC 8 plus your proficiency bonus, so it's 12.
So the one that you slash across the cheek makes that save, the other two don't.
Okay, roll 2d6. Nice, 8 points of damage. I'm also going to summon my other sword into his face as well.
Okay, yeah, roll that attack.
That is 13.
Does not hit.
Balls. Okay, that's me.
So he's seen your, he saw your first trick, basically, and he essentially decided that he knew what was coming as you tried the same thing again. Then it's Jefferson's turn next, who's still over on the Luciola.
Okay, I'm going to take a shot with my Ravager pistol, and I'm going to make this a shrapnel cloud shot. And I'm going to shoot at the soldier in the middle of that table. So that, like, the guy next to the one that Pax just hit.
Yeah, okay.
That is a 25 to hit.
Definitely hits.
Okay, so he takes 7 damage from that shot.
Okay.
And then the shrapnel explodes. So as the bullet hits, it explodes. Each creature within 5 feet of it must make a dexterity saving throw. Unfortunately, I think that might mean Pax. I don't know.
If it says each creature, then that will, yeah.
Yeah. Has to make a dex saving throw. That is a saving throw of 12.
Pass mine with 15.
Okay, so the two on each side of him pass that. They dodge out of the way of the shrapnel, but he doesn't actually. He gets hit with the full force of that.
Okay, so... that is 8 damage to him, 4 damage to the other three, so Pax and the other two soldiers. And then, because it's my first turn in combat and I took an attack action, I'm going to take another attack action.
Yep.
I rolled off the table. Hang on, I'm going to use Mike's rolling mat. That's terrible.
Probably shouldn't have used that.
Then I'm going to use my other pistol to shoot again.
Okay.
That's also terrible.
Please stop using this, Matt.
The second attack was a 9, and the third attack was a 10.
Yeah, they both miss.
But it looks cool.
It does look cool. You get a lot of shots off.
Yeah.
Okay, so you fire one of the first one explodes and shatters into a cloud of shrapnel, and you keep firing shots, and he manages to duck down and avoid quite a few of those. Interestingly enough, the Luciola then starts to lurch side to side as it starts to take some fire. The other two ships outside start firing upon the Luciola.
Can I use like the ship comms and yell,
So yell at Celix and Prim, fire back, and yell at everyone else, get back on this ship.
Okay, yeah, you can yell that just at the end of your turn. Okay, and then it is the... Oh, it is Captain Benedict's turn.
That prick.
He's, again, he's currently glowing, and he's surrounded by this seal of protective energy. So he's surrounded by that, and he channels more of this blue energy. And as the flames die down, you see him put his hands together and form this ball of pitch black gravitational energy. And he lets that loose into the room. And at first you sort of wince back. You think something quite painful is going to happen. And it sails across the room slowly until it gets to D4. And D4, you get ready to take this impact. And it actually sails over your shoulder and towards Ozan. And Ozan again... Ozan, you again sort of prepare to take this impact. And then it passes you and it goes past you and into the airlock. And once it's in the airlock, it stops moving. And this ball expands and fills the airlock. And he looks around at you and smiles. And he says, "Oh, but I am sorry. You are not going anywhere."